had a bad night. I want it recorded, sir, that I have urged a 6-hour shutdown before the event, he said. Indeed, and the minutes will show that I have said it is quite impossible, said Gilt. Firstly, because it would be an unpardonable loss of revenue, and secondly, because sending no messages would send quite the wrong message.
We'll shut down for an hour before the event, then, and clear down, said Mr. Pony. Every tower will send a statement of readiness to the Tump, and then lock all doors and wait. No one will be allowed in or out. We'll configure the towers to run duplex, that is, he translated for management. We'll turn the down line into a second up line, so the message will get to Genua twice as fast. We won't have any other messages on the trunk while the race is on. No overhead, nothing. And from now on, sir, from the moment I walk out of this room, we take no more messages from feeder towers, not even from the one in the palace, not even from the one in the university. He sniffed and added with some satisfaction, especially not them students. Someone's been having a go at us, sir.
That seems a bit drastic, Mr. Pony, said Greeningham.
I hope it is, sir. I think someone's found a way of sending messages that can damage a tower, sir.
That's impossible.
Mr. Pony's hand slapped the table. How come you know so much, sir? Did you sit up half the night trying to get the bottom of it? Have you taken a differential drum apart with a tin opener? Did you spot how the swage armature can be made to jump off the elliptical bearing if you hit the letter K and then send it to a tower with an address higher than yours, but only if you hit the letter Q first and the drum spring is fully wound? Did you spot that the key levers wedge together and the spring forces the arm up and you're looking at a gearbox full of teeth? Well, I did.
Are you talking about sabotage here? Said Gilt.
Call it what you like, said Pony, drunk with nervousness. I went to the yard this morning and dug out the old drum we took out of Tower 14 last month. I'll swear the same thing happened there. But mostly, the breakdowns are in the upper tower, in the shutterboxes. That's where...
So, our Mr. Lipvig has been behind a campaign to sabotage us,
Gilt mused. I never said that, said Pony.
No name need be mentioned, said Gilt smoothly.
It's just sloppy design, said Pony. I dare say one of the lads found it by accident and tried it again to see what happened. They're like that, the tower boys. Show 'em a bit of cunning machinery and they'll spend all day trying to make it fail. The old trunk's a lash-up, it really is.
Why do we employ people like this? Said Stowley, looking bewildered.
Because they're the only people mad enough to spend their life up a tower, miles from anywhere, pressing keys, said Pony.
They like it.
But somebody in a tower must press the keys that do all these terrible things, said Stowley.
Pony sighed. They never took an interest. It was just money. They didn't know how anything worked. And then suddenly they needed to know, and you had to use baby talk.
The lads follow the signal, sir, as they say, he said. They watch the next tower and repeat the message as fast as they can. There's no time to think about it. Anything for their tower comes out on the differential drum. They just pound keys and kick pedals and pull levers as fast as they can. They take pride in it. They even do all kinds of tricks to speed things up. I don't want any talk about sabotage, not right now. Let's just get that message sent as fast as possible. The lads will enjoy that.
The image is attractive, said Gilt. The dark of night, the waiting towers, and then, one by one, they come alive as a serpent of light speeds across the world softly and silently, carrying its... whatever. We must get some poet to write about it.
He nodded at Mr. Pony.
We're in your hands, Mr. Pony. You're the man with a plan.
I don't have one, said Moist. No plan, said Mr. Earhart. Are you telling me that you...
keep it down, Moist hissed. I don't want everyone to know.
They were in the little cafe near the Pin Exchange, which, Moist had noticed, didn't seem to be doing much business today. He'd had to get out of the post office in case his head exploded.
You challenged the Grand Trunk. You mean you just talked big and hoped something would turn up? Said Mr. Earhart.
It's always worked before. Where's the sense in promising to achieve the achievable? What kind of success would that be? Said Moist.
Haven't you ever heard of learning to walk before you run?
It's a theory, yes.
I just want to be absolutely clear, said Miss Dearheart. Tomorrow night, that's the day after today, you are going to send a coach. That's a thing on wheels, pulled by horses, which might reach 14 miles an hour on a good road, to race against the Grand Trunk. That's... all those semaphore towers, which can send messages at hundreds of miles an hour, all the way to Genua. That's the town, which is a very long way away indeed.
Yes.
And you have no wonderful plan?
No.
And why are you telling me?
Because, in this city, right now, you are the only person who would possibly believe I don't have a plan, said Moist. I told Mr. Grote, and he just tapped the side of his nose, which is something you wouldn't want to watch, by the way, and said,